coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. Ken Hardy begins a second term as president of OHA, and he begins year two facing purse redistribution between Woodstock, Dresden, and Windsor, something his group has long been against. Race date reductions are still a hot-button issue, as is handle, which OHA claims is down on live product in Ontario. It's the state of the industry in Ontario on this edition of Trot Radio. Ken Hardy, welcome back to Trot Radio. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you.
Last year you said that the industry in Southern Ontario is doing very well. 1 year later we meet again. How would you describe it now?
Not that good. Our wager in Ontario is down about $40 million this year. We've lost another 27 days of racing for 2012, which brings the total to 189 since 2006, so I'm not that optimistic.
Not that optimistic. I want to focus on the handle in just a little while, but I do want to touch on this, and that is, you know, every industry has a boom and bust cycle, as it were. Sometimes the bubble just tends to pop, and we've seen that certainly with the economy. But do you not think that this industry, particularly in Ontario, is going to go through a retrenchment? I mean, there were a lot of tracks that were popping up before the days of slots back in the heyday. Do you see some tracks going by the wayside?
I would hope not, but I guess that's always a possibility if we keep reducing days and the purse money. We've raced for less purse money, I think, last year than we did since 2000.
The challenges really haven't changed that much, so let's get right at the issue of purse redistribution. Why are you still against it when it seems like a way to, some would argue, share the wealth?
The problem with the majority of our horsemen, where they're sending the money from, is the biggest issue is Woodstock. Is the money generated at Woodstock is supposed to go back into the economy in the Woodstock area, which now they, when they send $1 million out of Woodstock to Windsor, they're asking our horsemen to truck horses of hundreds of miles to get the money that they generated in their own.
Okay. Let me take that up with you, because obviously you've been to Woodstock in its current state. I've been there many times as a fan, and as a fan, I kind of get what the commission's doing here, because let's face it, those guys are racing in front of the same 100 people. I've said it all the time, and you know, here it is. I'm a fan. I bet a 2-4 exacta. The 2 is 40-1. The 4 is 30-1. And the exacta pays $20. I'm more liable to want to go down to Windsor and watch horses compete for better purses, thus more competitive fields, bigger pools, bigger payouts. Can you understand how the fans feel about that?
Yeah, I can see your point. Other than I really don't, by the numbers I see, I don't really see a lot of fans going to Windsor Raceway. I think most of the money is bet off track.
This is true. They outhandle a lot of tracks in Ontario, and I guess the argument could be made that, you know, think how much more off track money could be generated, at least handle in general, if they get an even better racing product. And to be honest with you, for the most part, they're just throwing out five claimers out there.
Basically, once they move the money and they put a cap on it, that's all you're going to have there, because they haven't first money to run any decent races.
Yeah. Why should the betting public care about how that affects Woodstock Dresden? I mean, come on, it's crazy that, like I said, they're racing in front of nobody, but for $9,000 purses, because the slots are so good. We know why the slots aren't as good as Windsor, because of all the competition from casinos, both in town and across the river. So as a fan, why should I care? Why should I just instead just stay at home and point and click on my bets in Windsor?
Well, that's true. I agree with you there. The point I'm trying to make is that I'm talking about horsemen that are trying to make a living and feed their families.
Right.
And when you go back to Woodstock, the prior year from moving the money, it was a local horseman that was the leading money winner there, and as soon as they moved the money, he basically couldn't even race there.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question comes down to, and this is where the two sides in the issue are at odds, the question comes down to, you know, is the commission doing enough for the fans. And these strategies, the redistribution, the reduction of race dates, they're trying to distill the product into what might be a more bettable product. Let's move on to a directive that was put out by the ORC that pertains to, and this is in order to be in compliance with CPMA, that basically mandates tracks to be into an agreement with a licensed horse persons group or through individual agreements with licensed racing participants. Does this take any power away from a horseman's organization, or does it make it even more competitive as other groups are going to be in there, you know, trying to get that membership that has to join with somebody?
Well, I think it takes all basically takes all the power away from the horsemen's groups. It they can tracks can base the way it's wrote, tracks can basically sign a contract with an individual.
They've been doing that though for years, haven't they? I mean, Woodbine did that when they had their conflicts with OHA.
Yeah, I guess it worked for a while. They tried it in Windsor, and it didn't work there.
Okay,
but. Yeah, no, it's when they came out with that, it was over the licensing. The ORC wants to license horse people's groups,
mm-hmm.
which it's downloading from the CPMA, which Ontario is the only place that they're saying that we have to be licensed. All the other provinces are going with approval. So,
interesting. What do you see as a solution to what ails this industry? I know there's not, you know, one overreaching answer to the problems, but certainly there's got to be a rough strategy that you as the president of OHA see as a means to try and right this ship.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that have happened in the last... last while that with the putting the caps on racetracks so that they can't give away the money that they have in their purse pools,
mm-hmm.
Something has to be done about that, because that's the mainstay of the horseman's living is to purse money that's available.
Yeah. Well, someday I think I'd like to have you and perhaps a rep from the ORC on, because the numbers are kind of wacky, to be quite honest with you. You know, each side will put their own spin on it, and I say that with all due respect. But one thing I do respect is the fact that every time we ask you to come on Trot Radio, you do it willingly, and we appreciate you being on this edition. Ken Hardy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you go. Good Lucan, Ontario boy. While we're sending out good wishes, I want to send out my best on behalf of everybody I know to Bob McIntosh, who's recuperating after that unfortunate mishap. Bob, we're thinking about you. Get better soon. You've been listening to Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.